First reading and the second reading, Prophet Isaiah and the letter to the Hebrews both talk about the suffering of our Lord in prophecy, in the Prophet Isaiah, and then in reflection on our Lord's priesthood in the letter to the Hebrews, about the suffering servant justifying many, and the great high priest that entered through his suffering to give the greatest sacrifice, the most pleasing sacrifice that redeemed all of us. So both of these are about what we call redemptive suffering, suffering that is sanctifying either for yourself or for another person. And the way that this is summed up in recent history is by the line, offer it up, right? That's a line by parents, my parents at least, said a lot. You know, when you don't get something that you want, offer it up. And they'd also say things like, people in hell want ice water too, but they don't get it. But offer it up is a good summary of what redemptive suffering really is. It sounds like just kind of like a parent's or a grandparent's kind of line, like, hey, you know, suck it up, you know, don't be so weak. But actually, it's a deeply theological saying. Offer it up doesn't make any sense. If you think about it, it doesn't make any sense unless you have some notion of sacrifice and uniting yourself to Christ's sacrifice. Like, what does it mean to offer it up unless you're thinking about Christ's redemptive suffering? What does that even mean? To whom would you offer, and what are you offering? So offer it up is actually a very deeply theological saying, a very deeply theological idea, even though we might not always think of it that way. Our Lord, in his suffering, allowed suffering to become not an absolute evil, but something that actually can be a means of sanctification. By entering into suffering, our Lord sanctified it. By entering into suffering, our Lord changed it. I said a couple months ago that God never wills suffering. He never wills evil. But given the fact of suffering in this world, which came through our sin, the sin of our first parents, suffering is just a brute fact. It is a given. It is something that reaches all of us to different degrees, but all of us nonetheless. Everyone suffers in their life. And you can try and run away from suffering. You can try and deny suffering. It will still reach us. And so this idea of redemptive suffering allows us to regain our freedom in the face of this certainty of suffering. Because if I try and run away from suffering, it'll still find me. If, however, I turn and confront suffering, and not just confront it, but embrace it, seeing in suffering an opportunity to place myself on the cross with Christ, I then regain my freedom. Suffering and evil and all of these things no longer have the last say on me. They no longer constrain me. I can turn them into something good. So something that the devil hates that our Lord did, is that he turned suffering into something that can bring us joy and freedom. You look at the lives of the saints, as many saints as there are, as many different backgrounds from which they come, they all had two things in common, even though they had different walks of life, different backgrounds, different lives. Two things in common they had were joy and suffering in their lives, both in great quantity. And it doesn't seem like those two things should go together, but they do. And the saints saw that they do. Because it's only in embracing our suffering and turning it to a redemptive act that we can actually avoid the despair that strikes so many in our world, in our culture, that see suffering as an absolute evil, a thing to be avoided at all costs. And that mindset leads to many evils. The idea that suffering is to be avoided at all costs and that it's an absolute evil, never to be endured, this has led not just to our culture of comfort, but also to the idea that, well, if it doesn't look like this child might have a comfortable life, if it looks like this child might have suffering, then it's best to end the life before it sees the light of day. Or this person who is quite ill, they're undergoing so much suffering that this life is not worth living anymore. So end that life. So losing an idea of redemptive suffering has had incredible real-world consequences, led to a lot of death. Because if we just try to avoid suffering, we are being anti-Christ in a sense. Not the anti-Christ, but we're being anti-Christ. Instead of embracing the cross as our Lord did, we run away from it. And we think by running away from it, we find comfort and peace. But we all know, if we think about it, if we look deep down, we all know that that does not come if we run away from suffering. Here's a scene that may or may not be historical. It's not in the Gospels, so we're not sure if this exchange actually happened. But in the movie The Passion, I think I've mentioned this scene before because it's so poignant. And our Lord, when he is given his cross to begin his walk to Calvary, he embraces it like he's hugging it. And Gethsemane, the bad thief, says, "Why do you embrace your cross, you fool?" And if that exchange happened, I'm not surprised, because we still have that mindset sometimes. We look at what the saints did and how they lived their lives, and we say, oh man, they were weird. They looked for suffering. They rejoiced in suffering. Something must have been wrong with them. Now, if we encountered the saints nowadays, we probably would think that. But they knew the secret. You know, they knew what we try to ignore sometimes, that only in embracing suffering do you rid yourself of it. Doesn't mean it disappears, it doesn't mean it goes away, but what it does do is you turn it into something that actually sanctifies rather than just pushes you to despair. And so we need to regain this mindset of redemptive suffering. And that's why your moms and grandmothers and grandfathers and your dads always said, offer it up, right? Because it's such an important idea that every time we lose this opportunity to offer up our suffering in union with Christ's suffering, every time we miss that opportunity, we kind of reject the suffering of Christ. We reject the sacrifice he made for us. Because every time we offer up our suffering, we offer it up in union with his sacrifice, and it's something that lightened his load then, 2,000 years ago, when he offered his redemptive suffering for us. So I think you can see, if you look around the world, how much our culture, how much our society, how much our world tries to avoid suffering and sees it as the ultimate evil. We need to remind them that God, our high priest, entered into suffering with us. God is not aloof. He is not distant. He is not some cold being up there. He actually experienced our human suffering, which should prevent us from ever, in the midst of our suffering, being bitter at God, thinking, God's just up there sending down sufferings. Well, no, he led the way in suffering. God knows what suffering is like, not just because he knows everything, but because he actually suffered. God suffered, which is a crazy thing to say, but it's true. God suffered, and he suffered for us, and he knows what our suffering is, and he sanctified our suffering. Any kind of suffering, emotional suffering, physical suffering, spiritual suffering, all of that he embraced on the cross and said to us, when these come your way, know that if you enter into them and embrace them, you are joined with me on the cross. And of course, being joined with Christ on the cross means being joined with him in his resurrection. So to sum it all up, offer it up. You know, I could have just said that for my homily and left it at that. Offer it up, and people in hell want ice water too, and they don't get it. So, feel free to use that. My dad would be very proud to know that that spreads around.